Hope you guys are having a great weekend so far. Hope you continue to have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll spend some time in prayer at the end of the service for Memorial Day. And so we're on week four of the series Flourish. I hope you guys have enjoyed it so far. We always pray that every single series we do speaks into your life, helps you see that the Bible applies to your life, and you use this series to make you more like Jesus. So if you've been at Vertical for a long time, you know I teach out of the Old Testament a lot. If you're new to Vertical, you have no idea about this. So this will be a fresh thing for you. If you are new to Vertical, I'm Philip Kite. I'm so glad you're here today, and I'm part of the team here. And so let's go New Testament. How about that? How about we keep everybody on our toes? I don't want to get too predictable here, so let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you got your Bible, or if you got the Bible app, or if you have neither, we're going to do something powerful with technology, and we're going to put it on the screen for you. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, "For Christ's love compels us." If you've been at Vertical, you know I like that word compels, right? You've heard that a couple times. So you can underline, you can highlight that word. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. You should underline or highlight that part. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So as we've been talking about this idea of flourishing and diving into the idea that God has made me, God has made you, and not only has he made us, but he's actually called us to do things for him. Like we actually have a purpose, like we actually have a plan, like God has used that. And it says here in this verse that those who live should what? No longer live for themselves. We have this saying here around Vertical Church, and it's very complicated, as you know. I'm very deeply theological, and the saying is this: life should be bigger than you. That's our saying around here. Life should be bigger than you. And that's a very simple phrase, but it seems to line up with what the New Testament's saying here, that if we live for Jesus, it should no longer be living for ourselves, but for Jesus. Our life should be bigger than us. And see, and it tells us also in these verses that before we can ever make that decision, Jesus has set the foundation. Jesus has found that he died for every last human being and gave us a foundation to grow from. It says that was the starting point for us. If you want to flourish in your life, it's got to come from a foundation that Jesus paid a price for you and for me. And so most of us, when we go to church, will agree with that. Maybe you're new, and that's okay. We are so excited that you have come and joined us to Vertical Church. If you don't go to church, if you're newer to church, if you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here. Just buckle up for the ride. We're going to go through the Bible, and we hope that you'll see it applies to your life. And so with that understanding, you know, we don't live for ourselves anymore. But here's this thing. Maybe I'm the only one who struggled with this in my life. Maybe you have as well. We start hearing things like God died for all, and we're supposed to live for Jesus. And if we're honest sometimes, does God's plan sound so big that maybe we don't have a part in it? Have you ever felt a little bit lost in the plans of God? Like God's got this huge big plan. He says things like he's died for all. And sometimes you feel like, but do I have a part to play? Do I have any significance in what's going on? I think sometimes you and I can feel a little bit like we're not important. You know, maybe you look and go, well, that's, you know, you're a pastor. You know, I work in business, or I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm retired. I don't have really as much purpose as some other people. And we go, God's plan just seems a little bit too big. If it's for everyone, how can it be anything specific for me? But you see, I think that's the beauty of God's plan, is it's big enough for every single person, but God can also tailor it to be uniquely for you. He can tailor it to be uniquely for you. And see, we're going to get into that, of what that actually means, of how does God's plan be so big that it can be for any single human being, that any single human being can go, Jesus, I want to give my life to you, and then he turns around and works in and through us. How can it be so big yet so specific? Look at verses 16. Verse 16, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we were once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." Look at verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." if I can be honest with you guys, there's just some Bible verses that I love. Like, it's not that I don't dislike other Bible verses, but there's just certain verses that I read and go, I'm so thankful that's true. I read verse 17 and I go, I'm so thankful that's true. I'm so thankful that God can look at any single person and go, I can make you a new creation. I have the power, I have the authority to look at any human being and go, I can make you new. I can take you from death to life. It doesn't matter your sin, it doesn't matter your shame, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. Jesus has the power to look at you and go, I can make you new. I can make you new. And I'm so thankful. We've talked about some of my struggles, my past sins, my failures at this church quite openly. I'm thankful that verse is true, that Jesus could look at someone like Philip Kite and go, I can make even you new. I think as Christians, we should never lose our inspiration from verse 17 that God can make us new. And it's very important that we don't do that, because what does the verse 16 say? It says we should not look at people from a worldly viewpoint, right? Well, if we're not supposed to look at people through a worldly viewpoint, how are we supposed to look at them? And it would be through a spiritual lens. And we've talked about that in the past some. But according to verse 17, it tells us how we should view people as Christians, and how we should view every single human being is they have already been made new by Jesus, or they can be. I'm going to say that again because that may not have stuck with some people. Every single person as a Christian we should view as they've already been made new by Jesus, or they can be made new by Jesus. Those are the only two viewpoints we're supposed to have. We should look at every single human being and go, thank goodness Jesus has made them new, or we should look at people with the hope and the faith that Jesus can make them new. And I'm talking about that person at work that drives you up the wall. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've blessed them out a couple times, but it's not from biblical words. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you look at them and you've lost the faith maybe that you believe Jesus can make that person new. I'm going to have faith that Jesus can move in their life and take them and make them a new creation, that they can start doing what Galatians 5 says, that they can be made in Jesus and start bearing fruits of the Spirit. They can start bearing things like peace and joy and kindness. I believe that Jesus can make any single person new. We say amen, but then if you're like me, you're driving through town, and that person in front of you, bless their heart, you're like, Jesus, I need to make them new right now. You know what I'm saying? Or I need to go from death to life real soon because something's happened inside of me that doesn't feel healthy. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever's going on in your life. But sometimes we lose the ability to see that Jesus is going to make somebody new. But see, if we lose that viewpoint, how can we ever believe that Jesus wants someone else to flourish? If we don't believe and view other people that God wants to make them new, how can we ever be rooting for them to flourish? We can't. If we ask an honest conversation, I know we're at church, and so no one would ever answer this question, no. But have you and I ever lost the ability to root for somebody to become a new creation? Is there anyone in your life, in my life, that we have stopped rooting for them to be made new through Jesus? Maybe they've done too many things to us. Maybe they've hurt us too many times, and we've stopped rooting for them to be made new through Jesus. Paul says, that's who wrote these verses, Paul said, view no one from a worldly point of view anymore. View them through the lens that Jesus Christ can make anyone new. I think you and I, as we head into this weekend and through the rest of the year, we've got to ask ourselves one honest question. Do I still believe that every single person I see on this planet, Jesus can make them new? And if we lose that faith, how can we ever root for them to flourish spiritually? Because again, life should be bigger than us. If we're going to be a Christian, it can't be just about us flourishing anymore. It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be that Jesus has a plan that he died for all. You see, I think when he says things like, make a new creation, and the old has gone, and the new has come. I start thinking about plants, and I don't know if I'm weird, but that's what I was praying through, and that's what I started praying through and getting this picture of plants. And if you guys know, I share sometimes, you know, I build these lessons off, you know, verses the Lord gives me or imagery he gives me. He was talking to me for weeks and weeks ago about this lesson. He kept talking about plants. And in case you're wondering, I don't have a green thumb. There is no garden in my life outside of the weeds that are growing in my yard, okay? That's my garden, okay? I don't know much about plants, so I start digging in. But look at what these next verses say. Look at what verse 18 says. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. But to be honest with you guys, a word like reconciliation to me, I get what it means. Maybe you don't. That's okay. I know what it means now because I Googled it. And so, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes Paul, in case you're wondering, in the New Testament, writes in a way that's not easy to understand. I'm convinced Paul had a higher IQ than I did. Not ashamed to admit it. Okay, the man was smarter, so he starts using big words. I like to use words that everybody can understand. And so I want us to not just talk about the word reconciliation, because if you're honest, when's the last time you used that word in your everyday language? You gonna be honest? I don't think many of us use the word reconciliation in our everyday language. So what does that word mean? I looked up some of the different definitions, and one of the definitions said this. It says to cause to coexist with harmony. And I liked that word, harmony. And so I wanted to go back and read through these verses and change the language into maybe some everyday language so that we could all understand, or at least just me. And from this, all of this is from God, who causes us to coexist with harmony through Christ Jesus. And he gave us the ministry of helping people exist with harmony in Jesus. That God was causing us to have harmony with Christ Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of causing people to exist with harmony through Jesus. When I changed the language, that verse spoke to me differently, if I'm honest with you. When I started thinking that there's two powerful things that are talked about in this verse, is that he's given us the ministry. He's given us the ministry. Jesus looks at us and has given us the ministry of causing people to exist with harmony with himself. And then he's also committed us to the message of telling people to exist in harmony with Jesus. So when we slow down, apply the Bible to our life, I want us to answer that question. Does your life right now look like it's committed to helping people exist in harmony with Jesus? Does your life look like you are existing to help people have harmony with Jesus? That's what Paul's trying to tell us in these verses. He's trying to tell us that when there's harmony between human beings and Jesus, that not only can exist, but it should. It should. If you're honest with yourself, you look around the world right now, would you describe the world we live in with the word harmony? If you do, I'm concerned about some of the other plants you may be smoking, okay? And so, the word harmony does not come to mind to describe how the world is living today, but 2 Corinthians 5 says, you and I have a purpose and plan to help people live in harmony with Jesus. He looks at you and he looks at me and says, I've committed to you the message of harmony in Jesus. I've committed to you the ministry of existing in harmony with Jesus. See, I think sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, one of the reasons we kind of accept the idea that God's plan is too big for us is because then we don't really have as much responsibility. You see, if God's plan is so big that there's not something specific for me, I don't have as much responsibility in what God's doing. There's no weight really to my life. There's nothing I really have to answer for. But 2 Corinthians 5 has a rude awakening for us if that's how we think. 2 Corinthians 5 would say you as a human being have been made new through Christ if you were a Christian. And not only that, you have the message of telling other people to exist in harmony with Jesus. Jesus would say, I want to work in and through you. As I started looking into the words of plants and things, and I was praying a couple weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word, and it was a very confusing word to put in this message, photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. And you're like, well, if you were Googling reconciliation, I bet you Googled that word. Yes, you should go buy a lotto ticket. You're correct. I was Googling photosynthesis because I was trying to remember back my history class, or my, not my history, my science class. I didn't quite remember exactly how photosynthesis works. I had some ideas, but photosynthesis works like this. There's plants. Plants. Some of you need to write this down. I feel like I'm going to lose you. It's okay. Write this down. There's plants, and then there's carbon monoxide in the world. And I'm going to break this down. If you don't know this, carbon monoxide is not good for your health, okay? Some of you may not have known that. It's not. Write that down. If nothing else you've learned today, may you be blessed. Carbon monoxide is not good to your health. It's harmful, and even in larger amounts, it's lethal. But plants have an ability, through absorbing sunlight, where they can take carbon monoxide in, something that's harmful, something that's lethal, and through that, absorb it and release oxygen. They release oxygen. So they take something that's harmful, something that can even be lethal, the plants absorb it and then release oxygen, something that's healthy. I started thinking, man, I feel like that reveals the character of God. And then I started thinking, well, no duh, because he created the world. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm actually a huge believer that God created the world. And I'm not only believe that he created the world, I believe that God created the world in a way that reveals himself. So then wouldn't it make sense that God would look down at something like plants and go, you may seem insignificant. A plant may think they don't have any purpose, but every plant almost has the ability to absorb sunlight, take something harmful and lethal like carbon monoxide, and turn it into oxygen. You start thinking through it like that. Let me put it to you this way. Would Jesus not be the greatest plant ever then? Jesus would be the greatest plant ever. He has the ability to take on every last sin of the entire world from every last human being, absorb it, and a human being can pass through Jesus and become, what did that say earlier? A new creation. Jesus has the ability to take every last one of your sins, let you pass through him, and you become new and healthy. Y'all, we look around the world and we miss the character of God sometimes. This universe screams out, there's a creator. See, here's the thing, though. According to these verses, something bizarre happens. It says things like, we have the ministry of reconciliation. It says we have the message of reconciliation, which means something bizarre happens. It's we pass through Jesus with our sin, our brokenness, our shame. We pass through Jesus, and instead of just becoming new oxygen, we become new plants. We pass through Jesus, and he says, I'm not going to just make you healthy, and then you can float away. I'm going to make you new, I'm going to make you healthy, and then I'm going to plant you to keep appealing to other people. You see, we can't believe the lie that our life is insignificant. Because of Jesus making us a new creation, there is a plan and purpose for every last human being. And it's to point people back to Jesus. So I don't know where you're at in life today. I don't know where you're at in Hiawassee or online or here in Morganton. Maybe you've walked in, you've never given your life to Jesus. I want to tell you that according to Scripture, every last human being has the opportunity to give their life to Jesus. It doesn't matter the sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how much shame you have. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Jesus says, you can bring it to me. Jesus says, every last human being, despite your mistakes, can pass through me and become a new creation. And not only that, Jesus would look at any single human being and go, not only can I make you new, but I want to work through you. I want to take someone who's broken and trapped in sin and shame, pass through me, become a new creation, and then I want to use you to tell other people about me. That should blow some of our minds. Because if some of us are honest with it, we look at our own life and go, surely there's got to be people who weren't as bad as me. Surely you had other options besides me. And Jesus would say, I have every option. I have every option because every human being can pass through me and become new. It doesn't mean they will, but they can. The option is there. Look at this next verse, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be in harmony with Jesus. God made him who had no sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what I was talking about, is that you and I can be in our sin and our shame and our brokenness. We can pass through Jesus and become a new creation, and then he can make us not only new, but then he wants to make his appeal through us. You see, these verses have a lot of weight to them. It means that every single Christian has the responsibility of being appealing to the world. We don't get to just pass through Jesus and become oxygen and float off and kind of live our life and there's no plan, there's no purpose. Jesus says, every single person who passes through me and I take away their sin, I take away their shame, I then want to use your life to be appealing for me. There's weight to that. When I get up every day, I have to look myself in the mirror and ask myself, am I appealing for Jesus Christ? Am I appealing for Jesus Christ? When people look at the life of Philip Kite, do they think Jesus looks appealing? Because if they don't, I'm not living up to the standard of 2 Corinthians 5. I'm not living up to the standard of 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus says, not only can I make you a new creation, but I then want to work in and through you to be appealing for other people. Think about it this way, in the imagery of plants. Jesus wants to look at North Georgia. He wants to look at Morganton and Blue Ridge and Blairsville and Hiawassee and all of North Georgia. And he wants to take every last one of us and plant us as this beautiful garden, so that when people drive by, they go, man, I would love to look like that. Why do you think some of the people want to move to North Georgia? Do they just drive through North Georgia and go, man, this is a butt ugly place to live. I think I'll move here. Said no one ever. People drive up to North Georgia and go, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It takes my breath away. The view of the forests and the lakes and the mountains and the people are so friendly. I want to live here. That's what happens. That's what should happen when people look at churches. They should look at a forest that's so beautiful, that's been made new by Jesus, and they say, that's appealing to me. That's appealing. When people look at us as we've been planted through North Georgia and beyond, they should see Jesus in us, and it should be appealing to them. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 calls us to. Maybe you've walked in today and you believe a lie that your life is insignificant or unimportant in the plans of God. And I want to tell you that according to 2 Corinthians 5, not only is your life important, there's a clear plan, and God wants to work in and through you to be appealing to the people around you. God wants to work in and through you that your life so clearly points people to Jesus. That's our mission. It's not Philip Kite just coming up with it. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 says. The Lord wants to look down and say, I want to see some spiritual photosynthesis take place. I want to plant people in North Georgia and beyond that when they encounter you as a plant, Jesus is appealing. When I thought about that, there's weight to that. There's weight. I genuinely believe people have engaged with us today and they believe their life is insignificant. And I'm here today to tell you, according to 2 Corinthians 5, Jesus wants to tell you, your life has a clear plan and purpose to be appealing for me. That I want to plant you and draw people to me. I want people to look at your life and go, I don't want to spend another day without being made as a new creation through Jesus. Vertical Church wasn't birthed 4.5 years ago just to be another place that people can go on Sunday mornings. Vertical Church was birthed 4.5 years ago so there can be another place, another garden that's planted, one more place to say Jesus is appealing. And he can make you new. So I don't know where you've walked in today. If the worship team wants to come back on up, I don't know where you've walked in today. I don't know if you've been a Christian for 40 years. I don't know if this is the first time you've ever gone to church and you're hearing some guy up there talk about photosynthesis and remembering that you didn't do so well in high school science. I don't know where you're at today. But there's two very clear things that Scripture calls us to in these verses. The first thing is, have you been made a new creation through Jesus Christ? Have you been made a new creation through Jesus Christ? Have you given everything to him? Not some of it, not partially. Are you a pretty good person? It said at the very beginning that you who live should no longer live for yourself, but for him. Does that verse describe me? Does that verse describe you? Have you been made a new creation and given your entire life to Jesus? If not, I've got wonderful news for you. According to the Scripture, at any moment you can give your life from Jesus. You can go from brokenness, sin, and shame and be made a new creation. And that can be you today. The beautiful thing about Jesus is it's not overly complicated. He says, if you want to start new, confess your sin to me. Say, Jesus, I'm so sorry that I'm a sinner, that I've made mistakes, I've made sins happen in my life, and I'm sorry. I want to give my entire life to you, Jesus. Please forgive me. Make me a new creation. And then also use me to be appealing for you, Jesus. And there's a second thing that these scriptures call us to, and it's to live our life in a way that is appealing for Jesus. Our life should flourish spiritually so that when people look at us, they go, I want to know this Jesus you're talking about. I want to know this one who can make me a new creation. I want to know this one who's made you a new creation. You're different. There's things like peace and joy and love in your life. If that's not how we can describe you today, I want you to know there's grace. And there's mercy every day. That's not the words of Philip, that's the Bible. The mercy of God is new every day. And if you've walked in today and you go, man, I've given my life to Jesus, but I realize my life's not appealing right now. The good news of the Bible is there's grace and mercy for you to be made new again. That he can take the sin and the brokenness and the shame that slowed you down since you gave your life to Jesus, and he can make you new again. He can wipe the slate clean, that sins don't have to stay with you, that he has the power and authority to forgive every last sin. And that thing that's causing you so much shame, so much guilt, he says, bring that to me. Bring that to me. Pass through me as Jesus, and I will make you new. As we head back into this week, is our life appealing for Jesus? It shouldn't just be appealing here on a Sunday morning. It should be appealing 24/7 to those around us. Your life is not insignificant. Your life is not without purpose. Your life actually is of the greatest calling, and that is to point people to Jesus. He has given you gifts and talents and skills and opportunities to show that Jesus is the one who can make anyone new. And that's the opportunity we have to do together. Jesus doesn't want just Philip Kite to be one little plant on his own in North Georgia. He wants to see a garden, a forest. It's us together. changing the atmosphere, going forth to North Georgia to see carbon monoxide, to see sin and shame and brokenness pass through Jesus and be made something healthy like oxygen. That's us. That's our opportunity. We have the greatest mission and calling available to us. And he wants to work through you. You. Not just me, not just our staff. You. So now there is a wait. There's a moment you have to have an honest conversation with Jesus. And you have to decide, Jesus, will I do what these verses call me to do and give you my entire life so that I will be appealing? Work in and through me. Use me for your glory. I give it all to you, Jesus. I want to be appealing to North Georgia with people that are sent out to Africa. Lord, send us to Africa to be appealing for you. Send us, Lord, forth to Ukraine, like we are sending people to be appealing for you. Like Aaron going to Kenya, let me be appealing for you. Like Emily going to a children's camp, let me be appealing for you. When we walk out of the building today, can the Lord send us to our families, to our workplaces, to North Georgia, and we say, Jesus, make me appealing for you. Life's got to be bigger than us. I don't know how much time we've got left. It could be 1,000 years, it could be 10 minutes. But you and I should go down with every last breath and go, Jesus, I want to be appealing for you. Life's got to be bigger than us. It's got to be bigger than us. So if you'll stand up, let's close out in prayer. We need you. There is no such thing as a new creation apart from you, Jesus. So speak into our life. We know that you love us, that you care about us, that you want to make us new. And right now, I pray for any person right now that's engaging with us. And this is their moment. This is their time to give their life to you, Jesus, and to be made a new creation. Right now, if that's you, first off, everyone in the building, if you're a Christian, will you just begin praying right now? Will you begin praying for anyone that they know this is their time to give their life to Jesus? If you're a Christian, will you just join in and pray for people right now? Not just at our church, but every church, that they will give their life to Jesus and encourage them that it's the greatest decision they could ever make. And right now, whether you're in Hiawassee or online or you're here in the building, if that's you, if you know today, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to be made new. If that's you, I just want to ask you to put up your hand and put it back down. If you're giving your life to Jesus to be made a new creation today, just put your hand up and put it back down. I want to know who I'm praying for. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'll also, Lord, work in and through us to make us appealing for you, Jesus. That you'll send us forth, that people can look at us as plants and see that you, Jesus, are beautiful. That you're caring, you're loving, that you want every last person to come in and through you and be made new. Work in and through us, Jesus, for your glory. We give you this time. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak so clearly to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.